There's a brand new book out by a man named Todd Billings, and it's about the Lord's Supper. The title of it is Remembrance, Communion, and Hope. Well, as soon as I saw the title, I immediately identified with that. Immediately understood what he was trying to say about communion, about the Lord's Supper, because that's really what the Lord's Supper is all about. Remembrance, communion, and hope. First of all, it's about remembrance. In the Apostle Paul's retelling of the communion service in 1 Corinthians 11, he draws our attention to the words of Jesus, who said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you think of it, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." What is it that we're remembering? Do this in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? And why are we remembering it? Sometimes I think when we're coming into this time and we're getting our hearts ready and we're preparing, it's like, well, what am I trying to feel here? Am I trying to raise an emotion? Am I trying to feel good about this? What am I trying to do? Am I really thankful? Am I feeling thankful? Or maybe I just feel really bad because Jesus went through what he did on my behalf. Or am I trying not to forget the facts? Is that what I'm trying to remember? What am I trying to remember when I come to the Lord's table? Well, you know, I don't think Jesus is really directing us to remember any of those things. Although all of those things, you know, may be involved in some way. I believe that what he's trying to tell us, what he says to his disciples, remember, is something a little different. Do you know the Bible actually uses that word remember in a very special way? If you go through the scriptures and you look at it, whenever it says remember, it's calling us to something active, not something passive. Usually when we remember, it's like, oh, I remember that time, the good old days. I remember what we did here and where we went there. You know, but it's kind of a passive thing. You're not involved in it so much as you're just kind of thinking about it. But for the Jews in the Old Testament and the Christians in the New Testament, when they're called to remember, it's a very active thing. It's not passive and it's not even past. It's actively understanding right here and now the significance of Jesus' death. Yeah, that happened. He died on a cross in my place for my sins. He was raised again on the third day. And that is my promise of eternal life right there. It's a fulfillment. It's a proof that he was who he said he was and that he would do what he said he did, or he did what he said he would do. But it's also a promise to you and me about eternal life. So yes, those things are true. But what is their significance to the here and now? What's the significance to you right now where you're sitting there? See, there's this active part. This is what's going on right now because of what Jesus did. Remember, remember, and understand what it means for you. That's why Moses, right before his death, he said to the people, "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you. Your elders and they'll explain it to you." You know, why did he want them to remember? Don't just remember a bunch of dead relatives. Don't just remember a bunch of historical facts. Remember the significance right now. This is God in history with his people. But that same God is present right now in your history. You know, 87 times in the Old Testament, 87 times God reminds the people, "I brought you up out of Egypt." 87 times. Why does he repeat himself like that over and over? He's trying to make the people feel guilty? You know? Is he trying to make them feel like they owed him a debt? No. It's so they can know him right now. Remember what I did for your ancestors. I'm the same God today. I didn't go anywhere. I haven't left. I'm the same person right now. I have the same attributes I always did, the same character, I have the same power, and I have the same love for you that I had for them. Remember. Remember. So the Lord's table, as we go into it, it's an act of remembrance. But it's an active remembrance. It's something that affects us right now in the here and now. And the Lord's table is also about communion. Have you ever watched the National Spelling Bee? It was held this past week, and they broadcast some of it. It's always a lot of fun to see how it comes down. And some of the words, like, you know, we just look at and we just shake our head. It's like, I could never get some of those words that they're spelling. But the young man who won, he was a 14-year-old boy from Texas, and he won by correctly spelling the Greek word koinonia. That's an interesting word. It's the same word that we get the word communion from. Koinonia. It's an intimate word. It's a special word. In the New Testament, it means an intimate spiritual fellowship. It means association, an intimate spiritual association, a sharing, a participation, holding something in common. All these things are wrapped up in that word. But in this context, who are we communing with? Who are we communing with? There's kind of a dual aspect to this when we take communion together, isn't there? First of all, there's this vertical part of it. When we're taking communion, we are having, first of all, we are communing with God Himself in this vertical relationship. We're connected to God. We're in fellowship with our Creator. We're directly associated with Him. And we're communicating with Him as we're taking part in the Lord's table. We're participating in something very special. That's the vertical part of this. And then there's the horizontal part of this. Is when we share the Lord's Supper, we're sharing something very precious that binds us together. No, that's actually wrong. We're sharing someone very precious who binds us together. His Holy Spirit in me binds me to His Holy Spirit in you. If you have received Jesus, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Together, what we have in common is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And if we are willing, because of the Jesus inside of us, who we have in common, the largest barrier between us can come crashing down. Doesn't matter what it is. The largest barrier between us can come crashing down if we each have Jesus and we are bonded together, having this communion together. Because of what we have together, the fellowship of the Lord Jesus, it is more powerful than anything that could possibly come between us. And then there's koinonia, the true fellowship with God, this true fellowship with other believers, both here in this room and all the way around the world. Anybody who believes in Jesus, we're connected. We have fellowship with them. We have koinonia. We have fellowship, communion. So in the Lord's Supper, there's remembrance. In the Lord's Supper, there is communion. And in the Lord's Supper, there is hope. So where's your hope? What's your hope? Who is your hope? Do you hope in yourself? Do you trust in yourself? And is that how you get by? I know a lot of Christians who say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. And then all of the effort is based in their own ability to do what they do. Is there any real faith there? What's going on? Are we trusting in God? Because it's not us. It's not something we can do. We can't make transformation happen. We can change our behavior. And a lot of us do that. We go a different way. Behave a certain way. But to really transform, to really be changed inside, that takes the power of God. And that's where our hope needs to be. Our hope needs to be in the Lord. You know, we are called to account for our faith. Always be prepared to give an answer in response to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter. Is that your hope? Is Jesus your hope? As He shared the Lord's Supper with the disciples, Jesus said this. This is always a part of our communion service. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I highlighted those words. Think of that future part of it. The Lord Jesus, who's going to die, is not, because when this is taking place, he hasn't, you know, when the Lord's Supper was taking place with the disciples, Jesus was still there, obviously. This hadn't happened yet. But the Lord Jesus would not stay dead. He would come again. Now, he is both here and coming. Through the cross, he's in your heart, if you've received him as Lord and Savior. So there's the very present presence of the Lord Jesus. And then there's the part that says, you know, someday, that could even be today, we don't know when that is going to be. He's returning. Hope lives in you, and your hope is in the coming Lord. So the Lord's Supper doesn't just look at the past, at this thing that happened back there. It also looks at the present, and it looks to the future of the coming of Christ. There is this hope. In the Lord's Supper, there are these three things: remembrance and communion with God and with one another, and the hope that we have in the coming life with Jesus forever. As we begin our time of communion, would you bow your heads, and we're going to pray together and prepare our hearts. You should know, if you're new here today, that we have an open communion. You don't have to be a member to take communion. We encourage you to be a believer in Jesus. But if you believe in Jesus, then you are open and free to receive the Lord's Supper with us. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we come before you to share in this very simple meal of bread and wine. Very simple, but important. Simple elements that mean everything as they represent your broken body and your shed blood, the price of our redemption. We ask that you prepare our hearts so that we may eat and drink in a worthy manner. Lord Jesus, we confess our sin to you silently in these few moments. Search our hearts and reveal to us the things that we need to confess to you. Lord, we lay our sin at your feet and we ask for forgiveness. Jesus, we release the burden of our sin to you. We know that it's far too heavy for us to carry. But you died for that sin. And you will cast it as far as the east is from the west. You will forget it on purpose as we give it to you. We ask that you would cleanse us, clean our hearts, and heal us, Lord. Heal us completely and restore us. We receive your forgiveness and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Could I have the deacons and others who are helping with communion this morning come forward?